the heart and this sign, right? On the emoji, you go, look, people are writing in hieroglyphics all of a sudden, right? We're using
I'm in like four or five threads with people. Sometimes I hit the okay. Sometimes I hit the emoji as far as thumbs up. It depends on what I'm doing at the time, because my hands are not always free.
What the hell did you just say?
Hey.
Too much information. Pooja, to kick off the segment, I was wondering, because I found this really interesting, can you share with us your definition of communication?
Yes, I can. So I was trying to pull those up. Okay, so for me, based on everything that, my knowledge base, my experience, my personal, professional, communication is really it's a process. It's an ongoing process. It doesn't just sort of it's not a one-time thing that we do. It's something we use multiple different skill sets to use. Big component being social skills, right, which we learn as we get older. And communication is really, it's a social act. It involves you sharing with others what you need, so you can get your needs met, how to, share. We're humans. We have emotion. We're pack sort of people. So we like to support people within our communities or our friends. If they're hurting, we obviously can mirror their emotion. We feel it. We see it. So it's really a two-way process that relies heavily on your ability to read people's social skills and cues. Like if someone's looking angry, right, you need to be able to know that and pick that up before you start to bring up something that could further derail the conversation from where it's going. Or you need to learn, even though a lot of times you hear people going, I didn't say anything. You're like, but your body, you rolled your eyes, you shrugged your shoulders, that's saying something. So really communication is what you say, what you don't say. It's taught to you from a very young age with how you were talked to by, your teachers, caregivers, parents, others in your social group. What, it's a highly big sort of process that's culture plays a big part. What's culturally acceptable? Some cultures are very formal, some are not. So, for example, if your culture requires you have to call ahead of time to do something versus showing up, then that's going to cause a disconnect, right? That could, the other person will be like, you have to respect the fact that we need to have a heads up, things like that. So cultural values and what tone you use, how cultures determine what genders, what's acceptable for specific, for men to say, for women to say, and to whom. So it's a really big component, and there's so many nuances, like eye contact. Some cultures, it's, a bad thing. If you're looking at someone in the eyes when you're talking, it's considered disrespectful. And so you tend to avert your eyes, and that looks like you're not really listening to me or talking to me. And in the Western culture, that's taken as maybe disrespect or, autism, which it's not, it just could be a cultural trait behind it. You just don't feel comfortable and you've been taught not to do that. So to you, it's respect, to somebody else it's disrespect. So it's really about understanding all these little things. And ultimately though, what I believe it is, it's, where did I put that? I had it all laid out, but anyway, the gist is, it's a very complex process, right? And it is something that involves an ongoing thing. You have to read you have to have self-awareness. It's a way to socially engage with others, get what you need. And it's ongoing because communication often has a goal. The ultimate goal is you need to be able to get something you need, express your feelings so you can get, through, and people can either agree with you or not. Communication is also when you're, like I said, body languages. If you're trying to speak with your significant other and you're looking away while they're talking to you, or you're not really listening to them, well, then that is you really not, you're communicating something by your body, which is, I don't want to have this conversation. And it's really a lot of learning new skills, unlearning old patterns that don't work for you, and just willing to have an open mind and embrace yourself for who you are, while acknowledging that other people have a right to be who they are and have their opinions. So I really think communication is a medium through which you express your needs, with the ultimate goal being what you get what you need without compromising your values or those of others. And sometimes communication is also a way that allows you to, how you speak with yourself. There's internally, how do you talk to yourself? That matters. That's communication, because that will lead to how you act as well. So it can lead to endings in significant relationships, termination of jobs that maybe you just fully have recognized don't work for you. It can be uncomfortable in a place that can help you grow those. It's a crucial skill in any regard to harness and apply in order to be successful in relationships, your career, social life, and beyond. So that's sort of what I think it is. And, you know, I have a couple of questions for you guys, but I can wait.
Oh,
no, fire away. No, actually, yeah, that's the question.
Yeah, we like to be asked questions, yeah. I guess, right?
Oh, good. Yes. So, you know, with communication, it's quick, on the spot. As soon as I like say the question on three, I want you guys to say what comes to your mind, okay? So when you hear the word communication, what's the thing that comes up for you? Feeling, thought, anything? One, two, three, go.
Verbal.
Oh, man.
Verbal.
Oh. I said words.
Verbal, okay.
Yeah, verbs. Words,
verbal.
I said, oh, man.
And then I heard, oh, man. Yes, yeah. So it feels, what would you describe? What is that statement sort of really saying?
So, because I think like, all right, we're in for something here that's probably going to be slightly uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is when I hear the word communication, all the people in my circle that I know and love, communicating with them is super easy, right? So I feel like when someone comes to you and say, look, we really need to sit down and communicate on something, it's like, all right, this is something that's a little in-depth that falls outside of the norm. Mm. And
yeah,
one of us or both of us are going to probably walk away from this either A, great, or B, you know, needing some time to, you know, process what just took place and revisit it at a later date to try and make it better, you know. So that's why I default to like, oh, man, because no one I know is coming to me saying, hey, we need to sit down and communicate. When that happens, it's whether it's family, friend or foe.
Yeah,
it's going to be deep. That's just my thoughts.
Gotcha.
It's weird.
So your experience is about you.
It's like, we need to talk. That's basically, we need to talk.
Right.
Shit.
Right. That dreaded conversation, right? Yes. Especially in like any your boss coming up to you, we need to talk. Or like your, you know, significant other, completely understand it's a very loaded question and statement. But what's interesting is that, so for you, right, it's what you've learned through your history, your exchanges as a child, maybe what you saw in growing up where your parents communicating with each other was like, we just sort of experience things and move on, right? Like we don't talk about feelings and a lot of cultures don't. So there's that big component, or it's not okay for you, right? Like for men to share really. So when they do, it's kind of a major thing. So words, verbal, of course, it's like talking. What do you guys think about when you think of like communication as a way to get what you need, you know, and while also maintaining what the other person needs? Like, do you see it as a way to just have back and forth kind of conversation can be communication, right? So it sounds like though for you guys, I don't know about men and maybe men in general, and you can stop me with that statement, but from guys, you know, do you guys think that everything about communication is more so this is going to be like an uncomfortable thing, or why is this guy even, what's going on all of a sudden? Like, I thought things were good. Why is it getting so deep? What's your like reaction when someone says that?
Do you mean if a guy is trying to ask you a deep question, or I don't get your question?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. So like when someone's trying to talk to you and you mentioned, you know, people usually won't say, let's sit down and talk, especially in the groups that you know. So when they do, it sort of means like there's a big thing here, which is why it's like, oh man, what's going on? Bad news. Mm-hmm. You're bracing for bad news. But so when that happens, what's your immediate reaction about that person? What do you assume about that man that's trying to have that? I need to talk to you about something, whether it's a friend, a family.
Personally, for me, I usually go negative, like it's going to be negative. I usually go, you know, but in the past, I would have not wanted to do that because I wasn't great at communication. Mm. I've had to learn how to pick my words, try to be able to not be as harsh to people, learn to lower being too direct without sounding like I'm not being sympathetic or compassionate. So that's for me personally.
Wow.
You know, you touched on something, Pooja, and communication is an ever evolving process. If you're a person that you're trying to grow and you're trying to be a better version of yourself than you were the day before, you know, communication is a huge piece of that because you got to be able to communicate the things that you want, the goals that you're striving towards, mm-hmm. where you're at versus how what you need to do to get there, and touching base with the people around you that's going to help you attain those goals. So when someone comes to me and it's like, hey, we need to talk, like Ray, I tend to drift towards like, okay, I hope this isn't bad news. I don't automatically default to negative, but I think maybe I become a little like, oh man, I don't know what's about to happen here. Because again,
defensive
with yeah. the way my family and friend circle is designed, if you've got something on your mind, you just kind of spit it out. Unfortunately, sometimes we're a little too brash and not sympathetic enough. And I think we are really good at just, you know, turning things into a joke. Sometimes things that shouldn't be a joke. So when, right. you know, you actually have, when you're kind of used to that communication structure and actually someone steps to you and says like, look, man, we need to sit down and talk. Understanding the dynamic there and how they operate when that comes, it's like, oh shit, something serious about to go down. I just had a similar situation like Monday yesterday. Uh-huh. You know, one of my sisters came to me and she's like, you know what, like, come in real quick. I need to sit down and talk to you. And I immediately knew like, all right, this is about to be some serious stuff. And it had nothing to do with me, but that's just like our dynamic. So, you know, I get it. So like you said, Ray, the biggest, toughest thing for me when it comes to communication is remaining poised and listening.
Yeah.
I have a very bad habit of like wanting to get into something when I hear something that I don't agree with or that isn't all the way truthful. And that's probably been one of the hardest things that I've had to learn in the communication exchange is like, you know what, remain poised. Like two things, set the rules of communication up front. Like, especially if you know it's going to be something that is an unpleasant topic, maybe you don't agree on. It's like, okay, listen, I'm going to talk. Allow me to get my point across. I will let you know when I'm finished. Please don't interrupt me, and I will be sure to do the same. And you know what? Once you kind of establish the conditions of communicating whatever the gripe is, and I know it doesn't have to be a gripe, Pooja, but I feel like for me, a lot of times it is.
And that's, yeah. that doesn't happen with me that much in my relationships with people as far as we don't set rules. Yeah. We just kind of like assume.
Yeah, no.
Well, you know? And
I fail miserably without the rules and the conditions. And then right. from there, it's the tough part is about, you know what, holding true to the conditions set. So like I hear something and I'm like burning inside and everything in me is like, oh, I'm ready to set it right now. But I got to sit on it and I got to eat it. And a lot of times it's a good thing because sometimes where the conversation starts and where it finishes, it all ties in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had I jumped in there, I wouldn't have gotten to the end. But that sometimes is easier just said than done.
Right. And that right, what you guys are referring to, right, is really you feel what I'm hearing is that you see communication as conflict. And that's, you know, something that good communication is not conflict. It's just a conversation. It's a way to collaborate. It can be a way to connect. While at the same time, yes, there's moments where people are going to have things to say or specific points of views that don't align with your values. And to a point where it may be very, like cause a lot of anger and discomfort, like you said, you know, and that also like a lot of miscommunication happens because a lot of people then avoid because they see it as like a, I don't know if I can ask this. I don't know if I can do this. So that's one style a lot of people adopt is we kind of go with the flow and see what, you know, what happens. Other people may have learned or through their own experiences, like you're mentioning, right? You need that like script, a little bit of a guideline for what, I'm comfortable with, this is what I need to kind of have fair fighting rules if there's, you know, an argument in your example, but it doesn't always have to be confrontation, but because, right, what you guys are saying is you kind of see it as like, oh no, it's going to be like, what's going on? What's wrong? Your brain is already gone from like the part of you right here in the front that's like commanding and like in present and just willing and able to hear. Instead, you're operating from the sort of more of our emotional part of the brain, which is just like automatically like reacting because it's like ready for, all right, they're going to say something. So you'll kind of, like you said, hear it a different way than really what it was. So that's perception,
oh, no,
right?
I heard it right.
But you said, but then you said, you know, you can go down and you're like, you're okay, right. Wait, maybe, right? The miscommunications when we assume, for example, right. or so those are parts of the communication that can sometimes be really uncomfortable. So when we don't know how to navigate those, we go to our default, which is I'm getting ready here. I'm bracing myself because the person's going to have something negative to say. So you're already heightened. You're already in your fight, flight, freeze. Like, what's going on, right? Because we need, as human beings, to know where it's going. So one of the key things that I think is super important with conversation is if you're going to, A, decide what you're trying to talk about and with whom. So now you need to know, okay, so that starts with first being able to communicate with yourself. How you communicate to yourself is important, because if your voice is critical in your head, right? Like, oh, you always mess up. You're always late. Like, you know, why'd you even think you could submit that proposal and it would work? Or that was stupid. Like, oh my gosh, right? So if that's your tone and that's how you talk with yourself, chances are you were talked to that way as a child.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And you heard that, that became your voice. So then therefore you view other people with a similar lens. So if they do something, you're like, oh man, that was stupid. As opposed to maybe seeing, maybe they have a disability or they're having a bad day, or maybe, you know, maybe I'm not fully present about what's going on, but you realize that's your internal dialogue. So how you talk to yourself about your relationship, your place in life, your career, it all is important before you can really clearly think and define what is it that you want. And then you can decide, okay, you know, I'm clear. I want to have a healthy relationship, but I'm not right now. So how, the three things to remember is, what exactly am I trying to communicate? Why? Like, why now, right? What is it about this current situation that's sort of prompting me to speak about these things now? Yeah. And what do I want my outcome to be out of this communication? You know, it may not, and learning to a willingness to accept that you are not going to have control over what the other people, what the other person says or responds to. But that's a crucial part of keeping ourselves in check, is by looking at communication as just a way to like share ideas and thoughts and figure out how to work together towards achieving our goals. Then it can allow you to step back and have a more curious mindset. So part of that is preparing yourself for these like conversations. But the biggest thing is really clearly understanding, what am I trying to exactly say? And some areas are not so, you know, black and white. There's a lot of gray and a lot of areas where you do need to share context with your significant other. So there's no assumptions, right? And misunderstandings. So really the key is, what do I need? And once you figure out why now, what are some additional things I need to be aware of? Uh-huh. How's my mood, right? Can I handle this conversation today or can it wait? Because sometimes we just want to say stuff, but it's not the right time. So you want to look at context. Why now? Be clear with yourself. Be aware of how you talk to yourself and see if you can start to change that internal dialogue a little. If you feel it's very harsh, have a little bit more compassion that perhaps, like, am I judging too hard? Because that's how I think about me. So the first relationship that really starts is communication with yourself. When you get that clarity, you want to always know, what is it that you're trying to say, especially if it's a more formal setting. You want to kind of have that thought out, because relationships are delicate. Dynamics are delicate, regardless of whether it's with a spouse. And people may say, yeah, we're cool. But sometimes, no, it's not. So partly it's, how can you also be aware of other people's circumstances? And you know, is this a good time for me to ask for my stuff back? When this guy's like, you know, when your best friend's maybe going through housing problems, you're not going to be like, hey, can I have my bed back? Like, maybe, just, you know, unless you have a different need, of course, you have to quantify that. Yeah. And how important that relationship is. But knowing also when. So those are the nuances. But I think guys, like, you know, because like you said, you're direct, you want to say it, but there's steps that kind of get involved before you can even try to communicate and get somewhere. It's a process, so it's not easy, but there's things you can do.
So you, to navigate any successful conversation, regardless of the circumstances, you believe it starts with preparation?
Yeah, I think a lot of preparation, self-awareness, really just understanding also, what is it about the situation that's bothering you? What do you need to say? Why now? And what's your goal? What's the outcome, right? Because that sets the tone for how you want to approach it. And then also now we have all these different ways to connect with people. So what's, you know, I've heard all these like call, like for men that I see or even women. Oh, well, I went on this awesome date and we had like 3-4 dates. I thought we were like going somewhere and this person just texted me saying, I'm no longer interested. like, you know, they had
JT was there.
Ice cold.
It must have been JT.
maybe. But, you know, so I guess the point being, like, what's the context of that? Is it, if it's work, might be email might be okay, depending on the situation. Now, if it's your spouse that you live with, post-its may not be the best way to say I'm out. Like, you don't do that.
I ain't coming home no more, baby. Right. You got it.
Yeah, or like, you know what, and put like, hey, our bank account's zero. Have a good day.
Like, I'm just running out to get some butter.
Yeah.
Come back. Right, or don't, you know, your significant other might be like, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll talk about that. I'll be right back. Right. So, you know, think about context. How important is this? And then what's the effective way to say it? Because not everything needs to be in person, especially more formal things. But tone is big. If you're somebody who gets misunderstood on email, which happens all the time with text, like somebody was like, but she didn't write like with a happy face like she normally does. I think she's mad at me. I'm like, well, how do you know? She could just be busy. No, there's always this. So there's always that misinterpretation on text about tone, right? Somebody saying, okay, could be taken as like, that's it. I sent a paragraph and I get okay. Like, we don't know if they're busy.
It also could be that the person, you know, your spouse or your friend, and you know their habits, and you know the way they, you know, you can read text, I mean tone through text.
All right, Reggie,
because there's people,
the
you know.
You hit the thumbs up. That's like a, what's that for you? The thumbs up.
The thumbs up?
I gave you a thumbs up, and you were like, how'd you take that?
What do you mean, how did I take it?
You took it like, I forgot what you said, though. What'd you say?
I don't know. I don't remember. What did I say?
Jeff.
I don't know.
I don't remember. You had a thumbs up or something. I think I asked you something. It was like thumbs up or something like that.
You asked me to do something, and I said thumbs. I gave you a thumbs up to do it.
Thumbs up is not a word.
It's like okay.
It's confirmation. No, it's like okay.
It was two thumbs up. If you know Ray, Ray responds. So yeah, when Ray was hitting thumbs up, it was something out of out of context.
I think
it was out of character for you.
Like, what does that mean? Does that mean you're gonna do it? I think that's what
it was out of character. I was like, yo, da 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 da. So it was like thumbs up. I mean, you can take that as sarcasm. Like, sure, buddy. You know what I mean? And that's how it's used.
That's what it was right there. That's what you said right there.
Got you, buddy. Sure, buddy. The fuck? Nah, hit me with, I'm used to the okay with Ray. Okay, the bye, you know, with Ray. So when I was like, thumbs up, I was like, this dude just hit me with a yellow emoji. Like, not even the, it couldn't even be a brother.
You want the brother emoji?
So was it more like, hey, he didn't like take the time to use a word to tell me something when I gave him a thoughtful like question to answer?
Yeah, it was a reaction to, you know, it was the reaction to it. Because he hit the reaction. It wasn't even it wasn't even by itself. It was like, I liked your message type of thing. Like, it was like, oh, let me... you know what I mean? It wasn't even a thumb by itself. It was like, oh, what reaction do I want for this? The heart or the...
That's a lot of thought in that answer, though.
Hey, man, that's how I think, yo. My mind, I read into things...
Too deeply.
Pretty well.
So that's your perception, right?
Because maybe perception. That's great perception.
It is.
I don't know, maybe the point was maybe like, you know, like if you're busy sometimes, instead of saying I love this, you just do the heart and this sign, right? On the emoji, you go love. People are writing in hieroglyphics all of a sudden, right? We're using these emojis.
I'm in like four or five threads with people, four or five threads. Sometimes I hit the okay, sometimes I hit the emoji as far as the thumbs up. It depends on what I'm doing at the time, because my hands are not always free, like for response.
Too much information. Hey, buddy.
Too much information.
Now I got with the thumbs was up. Yo, because that was the only thing that was available, the thumb. You get it?
No, tell me more. I'd like to hear the details.
Nah, we don't.
I don't misunderstand.
Yeah, Ray, tell it. Yeah, for real. Yeah, sip, that's sussiness.
But you know what I think would be important here to look at. So this right here, you guys just did a dynamic, which happens often with colleagues, with friends, couples, right? Why did this, and this person has no idea that was offensive or seen as like lack of like engagement, for example, right? Or you perceive that one way. But when it was shared, the response was sort of like, there was none, I think. I jumped into kind of talk, but there was a sense of like, and that's my sense. Did you pick that up?
Yeah, you mean from him? He's like, and? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely did, and? Yeah.
But that's not what it was meant.
So what was?
He sounds like he's stumbling on his words. Right, we should get interrogation on him right now.
Interpretation, right? Like if you get me with a thumbs up, I'm thinking like, all right, cool, everything's good. Like, so I see where you're coming from.
You see where he's coming from, but is it out of character?
Why
from
isn't
the group
he talking?
Text,
why isn't he talking?
Exactly, because exactly.
Yeah, he just told us why he couldn't text. He says sometimes his hands aren't available.
What do you mean? No, it's almost like. Your girl is like, why you coming back last night? Baby, I was busy. Oh, okay. You was busy, huh?
Okay, but check this out.
He just referred to you as his girl, right?
No, but check this out. Hey, check this out.
Poke the
No, 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 but check this out. Who brought it up?
I brought it up because
thank you.
It was
I didn't bring it up.
I said I brought it up because
so that's what she's getting into it, and now you're like, oh no, she's trying to dig deeper to see what the deal is.
But I wanted, I saw right here, it says how to communicate.
You're missing the point. She brought, I'm saying she's going deeper. Pooja's going deeper with this, not me. You brought it up, and she's like, well, why are you quiet?
Who's I don't know.
So I think you mentioned that the thumbs up was an issue for you saw that certain way.
Right. I remember when Reggie took offense to me giving a thumbs up to something.
But here, check this out. And when I did it back,
what was your response?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what was your response?
In the moment. This is good. It just kind of helps to highlight different ways people respond.
What was my response? I'm confused.
I think that's what she's asking. What was your response?
What was Reggie's response or my response? Reggie asked me a question. Reggie asked me to gave me a direction to do something. I gave him a thumbs up, like okay. And then Reggie
asked you again, and you said it was two thumbs up. And then what I did? You know what's so good about? You know what was so beautiful about this?
You know what you did? Then you asked him to do something.
Yeah. I said because I needed something to be. I needed it to be done. You know, because it was like however time went by. But when I asked Jeff to do it, and you're like, "Oh, I'm fired," and I said, "Think," because I was like letting you understand how it felt. Because if I didn't get an A-OK, it was like it was too.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah, because it was like I was like, "Bro, it's like, hey, if I didn't get this, because I was like, okay, I'm waiting. So when it was a thumbs up, I was like, to me, it was like, oh, it's better to give me.
Then why you just didn't say that then?
But I did because I wrote back and I wrote again.
But you wrote to Jeff. You didn't write to me.
I wrote you twice. No, you said thumbs up.
No, but you didn't tell me what you felt about that thumbs up though.
I did.
No, you did.
Brother, you put thumbs up and then after when I did it back to you, you didn't like it. When I did it back to you, what happened when you got the thumbs up?
I could pull it out right now.
So Pooja, we have
when I put the thumbs up, what happened when you got the thumbs up?
Because this is highlighting everything that communication.
Yeah, what did you like? What happened when you got the thumbs up back?
Reactive.
I can tell that you took it as offense right then.
But what happened when you got the thumbs back? Did you get any communication out of the thumbs up when that's what I'm saying.
What did you think of it? What did you
get? Did you get your answer when you got the thumbs up?
I could tell through the messages. I am answering. I could tell the way you did it. You did it as a because you felt like I had did something wrong.
You not understand. How did you feel after you got the thumbs up? Did it communicate? Well, no, was it a communication for you?
I'm okay with thumbs up.
No, you not understand. Yeah, but did you see how? But
I think maybe he didn't feel the way he felt. So right? So maybe that's the part.
Your view on the thumbs up is different, and what I mean, but I'm speaking just as an outside third party. I'm in the same communication trail. I forgot the conversation you guys were talking about. I remember now. Ray responded with a thumbs up. My interpretation of the thumbs up is like, all right, cool, got it. That's my view. I also understand Reg looking at it and viewing it differently, but maybe it's because of the circles that I run in or the people that I work with and how we communicate. But even at my job, like you know, on Microsoft Teams, you've got like the quick emojis and stuff, and sometimes that's what people do. Like, hey, can I speak to you later? Hey, I got something going on. All right, thumbs up. You know, like it's like a okay, it's like an acknowledgement. All right, get to me when you get to me. So
again,
I understood it.
You understood it, but you, like I said, you've been in a circle what 7 months?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, 7 months. I've been in a circle two years.
Yeah.
So when I'm talking about patterns and things, so it's like normally you're like okay. Okay. So then all of a sudden it was thumbs up and it was two thumbs up in a row. So I was like, what's going on here? So my thing was like, maybe he's annoyed that he's getting too much direction. And I was like, two things I off because that's what it
so
was.
So you assumed.
Bro, you went like this twice.
So you assumed that.
Right, but you're interpreting the thumbs up as
it was
something negative.
Two thumbs right. twice. It was twice. So I was like,
that's your perception of
but
it.
But why?
But here's what he said. Let me write back what you said. Okay. And I'll tell you, no, I'm good at profiling people too and pick. I'm intuitive.
You profile.
No, but I'm good at too intuitive. When I'm saying profile, I'm good at reading people's personalities or reading just traits and the way they sound and tones. Being an empath, I can feel things, right? Even with through text, I can feel shit. You just said, if you heard what you were like, yo, he wasn't asking me, he was giving me direction on what to do. You get what I'm saying? You were like, so it was like an order. No, no, but the way he made it sound, it was like, oh, he was asking me. No, no, he was giving me direction on what to do. And it wasn't giving. I was like, oh, Ray, could you do this? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If it was me giving you something, it was going to be, no, if I was giving direction, it would be, yes, sir, da-da-da. I was asking him. I wasn't giving direction. I was asking him. It was almost like I was giving him a command.
Reggie,
he made it
so what's the response you wanted? What would be a response? So if you didn't get a thumbs up, what do you think
if you
would have been okay
if you take the time to write something, right? If I take the time and multiple times I've taken times to write stuff, right? And here's the thing, and Jeff can back me up on this. If I take time to write stuff, and if you ask me a question, and I take the time and write it out, just like you were like, oh, what happened to this? Why we so and so stop? And I take out and write a book and say, let me take the time and write this out and clear it up the air. And then I get, okay, cool, I got you, Reg. So to me, it's like, you didn't acknowledge it. You were like, under the.
So, but it wasn't a communication. It was you telling him to do something. So he was just like, all right. And then I remember the conversation. Then you followed up and I forgot, you asked something else and he hit you with a thumbs up again. And then you asked me, I think, to do it.
How long ago did I? It was hours that went by. Right, it was hours.
It was 11 something, right?
It was hours that went by.
A couple hours went by, but he responded to you with the emojis.
Okay.
And then you came to me and you said, you know, Jeff, can you do it? And then Ray responded. He's like, did I just get fired? And that's when Reg responded with the emoji.
See?
But to keep it fair, as far as understanding the concept and the affiliation with what that means from a communication standpoint, when Reg responded with the thumbs up, Ray then responded like, wow, I think I just got fired. So even in Ray's mind, then the thumbs up equates to like, okay, like an acknowledgement. So like it was the craziest thing ever. It really was. But
I mean, this is, sorry, go ahead.
So, what did you get from that? What did you get from out of
that? A lot. I mean, you guys really kind of demonstrated how a lot of things can go into communication, the nuances, what one person expects, where, you know, the other. So I got that there's a little pattern here, right? Like there, maybe one person's a little bit more detailed in their communication and maybe expects that back. So two things. The frequency of how often you may communicate, right? The content and context of your communication, like how deep do your conversations go, and then what do you then receive, right? So I think frequency, how often can you communicate? Can you wait an hour or do you need something back? Because that's your issue, right? If you send someone a text and they don't get back to you right away, but then that upsets you and maybe builds resentment because you start to think they don't love me. Maybe they're like,
and this was during
they
the
don't
work
respect
day.
Me, right? Right.
No, no, so it's not that. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's like, no, not as far as that. It's not communication back. It's if you say you're going to do something, as far as what we're doing. So I know we do all this on our free time. So it's like,
yeah,
if I'm busting doing this, literally making this almost a part-time thing, as far as almost a full-time thing, as much time. So if I ask for the little thing to be done, so on and so forth, and I wait hours or whatever, and it's the importance to getting whatever out, you know, whether it be in social media, it's a reason why, because
sure,
there it has, you know, there's a reason why you do it, because it has to be out at a certain point in order for it to be relevant, in order for that's what it is. So it's like a time thing. Oh yeah, put this out. It's not like, hey, just, it's not like it doesn't have a time frame or
I'll give you that, Rich, but it was a Monday during work, like actual work, 8 to 5. If this was a Saturday,
I know.
If this was a Sunday, if
that's
this
what
was
it
a
was.
Weekday,
no, 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 that's what it was.
He sent the text at like 10 something in the morning, a.m., on a work day during work hours, and then was like, well, you know, I need this attention provided.
Oh, no, it was like posted on Facebook. Yeah, that was it. And that's all it is.
Here's the thing is, you are now assuming that he is not engaged and doing something at his actual paying job to stop and do the little thing that you asked. I agree. You communicated. I agree that you communicated the urgency. I agree. What you asked of wasn't asking him to move.
I was supposed to post it on Facebook because the episode was out. So I was like, post it on Facebook, the fan page.
One of the things she mentioned as far as communication is preparation and context and understanding who you're talking to and the circumstances. It was a Monday morning at 10-something to 8 a.m. when all three of us are working. And what Ray does is very different from what we do as far as
you're missing the point. The
capability. No, I think you're missing the point.
Yeah, I think you are, man. You are.
Okay, let's check this out. All right, listen.
Let's start with this. I statements is another good way to diffuse this, right? Because this can escalate, or you can say, yeah, okay, so I hear you.
Yeah.
Let me help me understand a little bit more as to where you're coming from, because this is where I mentioned as one of the things that I wanted to go over. I don't know if I brought it up yet, but this is sort of like where we have to have a little bit more like mental flexibility, right? Ability to also be able to see other perspectives without necessarily abandoning what your true stance is on something or your values, while being able to accommodate some space to hold that different, right? Like, okay, I needed this done. It wasn't supposed to be meant as a, you know, I felt that this was. So that's one way that you can redirect by saying in these 10 situations that could go to a larger, constructive or not a very constructive chat. What you can do is if it starts to feel like, A, you're just not getting heard at all, points are getting missed. So there are two options here. You can keep going, or you pivot at this point and you go, okay, so, you know, guys, like, all right, maybe let me hear how you guys took that. So was it me sending you something at this time of day is what the issue was, that perhaps that there was a lack of boundary or awareness that we can't do these things right away because it takes a different amount of time than maybe what, you know, than you think it might take, the nuances that go into that. So it could just be more of, you can use this situation to say, all right, well, let me understand exactly what you guys are saying. What I'm hearing is that there's a sense of like, it's Monday morning, we're catching up on everything else, and then here's one more thing to do. So there wasn't a sense of like value for what we do and acknowledgement that this is really a full-time job what you guys are doing with the podcast. So given all the energy, perhaps that wasn't the best time, but maybe that's something you can step back and say, well, what could I have done differently? Or what, why don't we set up a schedule? This is a great place to be like, how can I communicate what I need done, whether, you know, with the timelines in place so that you guys don't, so it's not caught off guard on a Monday. Like, hey, can you do this? And then similarly, though, you can also express like, I would also like to, right? I statements go a long way. Like, I felt like I wasn't really acknowledged, or what I said seemed to be a burden. I'm at a loss here. But the gap is what came out of this. That outcome really is, it wasn't what you asked or how you asked. It was just the idea of, I guess, when. And then the response could have also been, yeah, we'll get to it, busy right now, right? Like, or something a little bit more not so passive aggressive. Was that the right term?
Correct.
Okay. And that's what I meant when earlier I noticed you kind of shut down, right? He sort of, you know, Ray was like, and this is what happened. And there was a little bit more of like challenging, right? So people get in these states. One person feels like they need to defend. The other feels like I need to go on the offense because I need to be right. One thing about communication, if that's your end goal, that you're going to come away being the right one, and someone's going to say, I 100% agree with you, I think that right there, you're not managing your expectations. And that's where it's important to know who you're communicating with. What exactly can you say? What is their general pattern? What works? What hasn't worked for you? So for some people, when we go on the offensive, right? Like you said, somebody was like, oh, well, if my girl's like, why aren't you like, why'd you come home late? Or why didn't you text me? Or something was said. You're like, oh, I was busy. Okay. However, that could also be defensive. Stonewalling is what I saw, which is a lot of times one partner in any kind of relationship, mostly in intimate relationships, I see this. They'll just stop talking, or you zone out. And that's a way to tell somebody like, whatever, like the silent treatment, things where people, you know, just sort of don't say, but that's a whole lot of saying something,
like,
or keeping people
cues,
in
right?
the dark. Yeah. Like, right. Or like, I'm just so upset. I'm not going to talk to you. And that really is saying, the longer I don't talk to you, I'm making it a point that I'm mad at you. And instead of just saying, this is where I was upset and I feel like we could make a plan to check in. So this is why there's team meetings, right? Where you guys got to adjust to these and say, okay, I'm just going to come from what I need done, set boundaries, right? Like, when is an acceptable time for me to be able to work on these things? Can you give me a certain amount of heads up? These are things, not to say you guys, this is obviously an example, but you guys just gave a really rich example of how communication on teams can go in multiple ways, because people just aren't either as proactive, right? People are reactive. And the whole point of communication is to allow you to be responsive and proactive and not in a reactive stance, because that's when you start to act from your survival part of the brain, where you're just going to, everything gets, oh man, like I knew he's going to do this. Oh no. Like there's certain people, right, that I have a text message from, like, now what? Like, I already have that, like, you know, sense of like urgency and discomfort, because already just my history with this person may be what it is. So you just look at it and go, now what do you, you just, it's always when they need something. So it's these learning things, like over time we get conditioned. So if you're younger and your parents like will call you out a lot, be like, why did you do that? No, tell me why, and didn't leave you alone and kind of, you know, talk to you that way, then that may have allowed you to be in a position where you had to agree with them. And that meant if you agreed with them, you got their support, what you needed from them, allowance, food, whatever, love, a hug, as opposed to being iced out. And so that's your way of knowing that, okay, this person really, really respects me. That was how your parents may have communicated. I'm not saying in reality, hypothetically, if this was your story, then that's how you maybe learned, right? That, okay, well, in order for me to know that I'm respected is that the other person understands and agrees with my point. But that's not always the case. Some families, you don't talk about feelings, you don't even bring it up. And so it's just sort of seen as like, instead of saying, you know, I'm busy, like I can't do this right now, like I'll be able to do it tomorrow. It just was easier, maybe passive aggressive, right? You close the door, you go, yeah, okay, like I'm sure you'll do that, like, you know, or whatever. That's how patterns of learning have happened, because that's how you've learned. Because if you open your mouth, it's just going to lead to a bigger discussion you don't want to have. But sometimes need to. So going in to this point being, right, like knowing that communication is not confrontation. It's really supposed to be about collaboration, connecting, and growing. It could be uncomfortable for sure. But knowing what you want, knowing what flaws you hold when it comes to like, you know, I think not listening, not being, I think Reggie, was it you that you said you were like, you're not that best, that great at listening. And
that was me.
That, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff, that was you. So that was, you know, part of that is, okay, there's active listening. I can listen. I'm staring at you. But if I'm just like, okay, yeah, like, but I'm not present, then that's not me listening. I could be on my phone. I'm like, yeah, I'm listening. But certain conversations need eye contact, patience, like in for couples, for example. I always recommend, it has to be an ongoing thing, once a week, just once a week, put aside 15 minutes, 20, 30, whatever your life allows, could be in the morning. Ask your spouse, your loved one, your significant other, what do you need today? What is your day looking like? What do you need today? Because sometimes it's just, I'm really overwhelmed. I just need a little bit more support today. So you kind of know what to expect. Two, you're asking every day in the morning, but on the weeknights, maybe once a week, three questions. That's six. Three. what can I do to, you know, is there anything from last week that we need to talk about still that you feel hasn't been resolved? And what, you know, can we do about it? Or what would you like us to work on this week? Is there something that you want to really talk about? And three, like, what can I do to meet your needs or love you better as the type of partner you need? And that also gives you then the opportunity to also respond to those same prompts, right? Those are your ways to also share when you're not in a heated moment to say, yes, this is something that I've been meaning to share with you because... Or I do my best when I have information up ahead. And so I don't feel as like caught off guard. I can prepare. And so it allows me to be more responsive as opposed to reactive to you. And that's when I get like, you know, angry or frustrated because I'm just not in the right space to talk about that. So some people just need to know that this is 7 to 7:30 every Wednesdays is going to be our sit down time. You start to like train your body and your emotions, your mind to just know that this is your time to just have a conversation so that it's ongoing and things don't linger. And you don't spend so much time on it. Cause at some point I wonder if I let you guys go at this, like you can talk about it for hours and there would still like, what do you think the outcome would have been?
I would be on my side probably. And he would be on his side.
Mm. What's the middle way here that you can acknowledge? Like I can acknowledge that, you know, there's a point to be understood here on my end, but also I need to make sure this is understood on my behalf. What's like a middle ground here that would work for you, Ray?
Okay. So,
and then we can, yeah.
If we on that specific item, I think that, I understand that. Reggie don't like the thumbs up for a response. That's what I took out of that. But also, he prefers more communication on the response. I mean, if you're texting, he wants, you know, a quick response or a more elaborate response. So I can work on that. Not a problem. But at the same time, I just need Reggie to realize, you know, it's not always possible for, you know.
Nah, it wasn't. To be quite honest, it was. I know what it was now. It was because, yeah, remember, and we took care of that. Remember you said you weren't getting the updates for the show? Remember I didn't send the link, so I'm like, yo, you should subscribe to it. You get the updates when the show comes out.
No, that was after.
Hmm?
That what you just said just now was after.
It was after what?
About me not getting the updates. That's after.
That was after?
Yeah, that was after. But we're talking about it before.
Okay, so you were getting updates. Okay, so it had to do with that. So it was basically, I think it was because you weren't getting updates, but that's why it's long. That's why I haven't mentioned it before.
Because
you've been getting updates now. That's why I think that's why I mentioned, Ray, it's whenever you get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. So that's what it
but
was.
But again, though, right? Though, Reggie?
Like, so it was like, could... no, I was going to say, basically what, I'm sorry, if we're talking about this instant, it was basically because it was me dropping the episodes, editing it. So I was like, okay, so... In a sense, what it was, honestly, was me having, like, my whole weekend editing. And then after I was like, okay, guys, we have individual things. And so when I took, you know, I was like, all right, let me be kind and say that so and so forth. So in my mind, it was like, oh, man, I'm taking the time. I understand you're working. I'm taking my time while I'm working. I'm taking my time out on my weekend, taking time for my family. So in you do that when we do the show. So in my mind, I was like, oh, man, just simple little thing. I shouldn't have to remind someone, but, hey, I'll be nice. And I'm taking the time to remind. So when it was okay, I'm like, dude, I'm taking the time to remind you to drop this from your phone. That's why I was like, oh, it's just your phone. You can just put this link on your phone through Facebook, through fan page. That's what I was like, oh, man.
But you don't know what I'm doing at that time.
No, but it was hours. No, it was hours after.
But you don't know who I'm with.
No, I didn't expect it immediately.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. It was hours later. When did I respond after? No, when did I respond? When did I send it again?
I don't know. I can look back.
But it was hours after. And this is what I hear. Oh, I played basketball. Oh, I did this. I would love to have these free time. Oh, I did. You know, so it's like, no, I understand what you're saying. I'm letting you guys know, and I have, like, I'm putting 155% as far as dedication into it. So that so like I said, a lot of it was like frustration, if we're being honest. Like I said, I've voiced it before, like, oh, so I'm like, when I get that, I'm like, oh, man, that's what it was. You know, it had to do with surface being frustrated, you know, at the time.
And we get that, but at that moment, like I said, I get your frustration.
No, but that's why I took it. That's why I got more frustrated, because it was like me taking more time to write this elaborate, like you said, elaborate thing, and I'm just getting and it's like more time energized, like, oh, I didn't have to do it. I could have been like, you know, I could have just been whatever and just approached Jeff, hey, create a thing, and took it that way. But I was like, oh, I took more time. So like I said, it was underlined, like, not just the message, but it was like, oh, man, here's another short thing. And I'm like, fuck.
So when you were again, Ray, what I saw, though, is a little bit of not being able to acknowledge, right? While hearing, like, I understand what the issue was. You know, I know that you didn't like that because it, you got a pretty good response from Reggie about that. But what I saw, though, was there was still a lot of hard time accepting, like, I appreciate you saying that or acknowledging that. And so validating, that is part of the communication.
You're right. And I don't do that enough. You're exactly right. And that is one of my major flaws, that I don't always validate someone else's comments, feelings. And that's kind of like it kind of comes off as lack of empathy or understanding sometimes.
Well, yeah, probably,
so,
yeah.
So I just want to say, I do want to say that, you know, I do recognize that Reggie did just right there. He did validate, you know, what I was going through, what I was doing, and I didn't validate what you just said. So sorry about that.
True, yeah, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Pooja.
But that's always been one of my.
Yeah. Pooja, how much are you charging these two for this session?
That's always been one of my.
I'm running
issues.
A tab, but it's on the house.
That's funny.
You'll get an invoice when you guys make it big. Right?
Oh, don't worry. Send it to Jeff.
About 20 grand of therapy we did.
To Jeff.
I'm the last man on the island, Pooja. I haven't started my tab.
Nah, Ray was saying something. What were you saying?
No, but definitely, Pooja, I can tell you that you know how you in your comments you said, like, where do you learn your communication skills from? Where do you learn things from? Well, I learned from my parents. I watched my parents, and in our household, there was no empathy. There was no hugging. There was no talking about stuff. It was just, you know, always serious, always. And, you know, if you had an issue or a disagreement with someone, you probably didn't even talk about it. You didn't even address it. You just kind of like heard what somebody said and you kept it moving. Yeah. So, you know, I've been working on that for years, trying to become better as a communicator. It just takes time. And like,
that's amazing.
It takes moments like this to realize, you know, your mistakes and how you can be better.
I'm glad.
Yeah, or just, you know, skills that you need to work on still. Because if you sorry, I didn't hear. I was
no, this
delayed.
Dude's hilarious. No, don't worry.
I need to know what was said.
Nothing. No. Trust me.
Jeff just said he's glad he's here for this moment.
Jeff's just being a complete ass.
Jeff is glad he's here for
all
this
right,
moment.
Guys. Hug and kiss
here,
up. Make up.
It's just a warm glow radiating from this guy right now. I wish you could be a part
this
of
this guy.
Dude. But that speaks to like how you probably were like, the less I say, the better. I just give them what they want. So I can, like, they'll get off my back and I can move on, right? Which is like kind of what that thumbs up is. But also for the other side, there's an expectation of you need to verbally tell me that you're okay with me. Is there something
that way? You can probably say you're on the same page, but that there's understanding. Right. Yeah,
but also, in my world right now, though, like, I've learned that texting is the worst form of communication. It really is.
Oh, for you?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I prefer like
verbal.
In my job, is always I get calls all day, so I'm used to getting phone calls, and then I'll get a phone call, then I'm getting a text at the same time. So I do like quick things all the time because I'm on the phone like all day with either my boss or, you know, my coworkers or whatever, giving advice. I'm talking to customers all day. So I'm used to getting phone calls and messages, multitasking all day. So when it comes to like trying to have texting, all, you know, I try to be as fast as I can. So,
yeah. But so I think this is an opportunity and not, you know, but this is typically where the next step of like communication would get strengthened. The skill that you're working on, right, is maybe we just need better boundaries and an agreement up front, which works. Like, I think Jeff was saying, I need that. So I think you got to have like understanding, like, all right, when it's related to the podcast, like I'll do it between this time and this time. You guys set up your own Google schedules, right? So you know what time you're available for certain things, or just preparation ahead of time to avoid these. So this is where now you can take what you learned from that communication, but you got to implement the changes to show someone that, yes, I hear you. Validating also doesn't mean you agree with them. It just means you agree to a disagree about the, you know, what you perceive the situation to be. What you can validate is how that person felt, because we don't, you know, we can't control how other people feel. They're a whole complex individual entity of their own, right? And the same way that we feel entitled to our, like somebody said to me the other day, they're like, no, my issue is like, I want to be able to tell people like it is, but I don't like it. But then I don't like it when people are like mean or harsh with me. And I'm like, now, is that reasonable? Like, you want to say certain things, but when it comes time for you to actually also listen to it and be open to it, it's hard. Right. So you can't have it that way. Then you're really just saying, I don't want a relationship. I just want my way or the highway. And that is not going to work in this world in any circumstance.
And Pooja, just to touch on what you said, I mean, I know we're like revisiting this whole thing from like however long ago, but the truth is, even though it's kind of played out here on the show, the truth is from that, we were actually able to build really good habits as far as how we move forward with the show and how we communicate and, you know, cut aside a time to talk and kind of prepare and touch on things before the day or a couple of days beforehand. And I actually think it's gotten a lot better than when we started and, you know, prior to that, like, little situation. So there's been a lot of good that's come out of it, you know?
Yeah. And that's a really good way to actually highlight those takeaways, right? Because when you take away like what really worked, even if it was an uncomfortable situation, if you can focus on what worked there and what did we accomplish? Did it help us reach, you know, what we were trying to? Did we all kind of feel our values were accepted and embraced without feeling left out? Were we able to like resolve everything? Probably not. It's an ongoing thing. But that's why these check-ins, you know, if it's a colleague or boss, some people need like extra check-ins with them because a lot of times there's hesitation for a lot of, depending on the industry I've seen, this varies. Some people are very like, hey, you need to respond whenever, depending on the seniority they have. And the other person feels like they have to, and they're burning out or, you know, but again, it just, it kind of all goes back to like, what are you trying to accomplish and kind of your role, your context. But this is why regular check-ins, like somebody I was like, that I work with, I was like, instead of living your week with this anxiety of you're going to get these new tasks and you really have no control, start to take a little more ownership. See if you can structure that for your boss, like write them something that says, hey, what I do very well. I work my best when I have X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And in order for me to really, you know, perform at my capacity for this organization, I need support with X, Y, and Z. And this is how I think we could do it. So go with a solution, right? Don't always present the problems without really understanding that there is an opportunity and that you have a solution here that you can suggest would work. Again, it's a nuance and you have to take into effect the other person involved. And you can't always assume they're going to perceive what you're saying as you're saying it and how it's meant to be taken. Because they, again, right, as we saw here, everyone has their own perceptions because of the way we've grown up in our own history with the social skills and social interactions. But like in a workplace, right, maybe going with more of a solution-oriented, knowing it's going to be kept professional, you don't take it personal unless you're comfortable. In fact, if it's something personal that you think would affect your work, you should have HR present. That's something to consider because, you know, you don't want it to later be used for you. Now, employment is a tricky place, but right. Yeah. So there's different expectations and that's a context, but it should always be about what's the point? Why are we communicating? So we can collaborate and build together. I don't think any human beings built anything by themselves. There's always some need for collaboration, connection, and you know, coming together on something. So what is it that you want? Focus on that goal, see what you can learn from it too. And like you just said, you pointed out, well, we found these things that work. So next time use those skills that worked and build on those. And not for you guys, I'm just using this as a really good good example because this is usually a lot of what I see in couple sessions or even
or any workplace kind of, sessions, please. Workplace sessions, please.
Thank you for that. Workplace,
but workplace I have too, or like mom and teenage. It's a very family. It's a dynamic that's ingrained. We each play out the dynamics that we are. What we see in others, right? Like if somebody reminds you of their like younger sibling, your dynamics with them are going to somehow play out. I mean, according to psychology, although it's not as it's more like, you know, it's what Freud would have said, oh, your brother must, you know, I mean, these theories again, yeah. Right? So we don't want to go, but that could potentially be why you feel like I could, this him telling me what to do is really reminding me, it's really reminding you of your other triggers, which is when I was younger, this used to happen to me all the time and I didn't like it. And this is how you survive. So you go into that mode, which I was like, all right, because you knew it would irritate that person.
Gotcha.
Whether or not you know.
So Pooja, thank you once again. For your listeners out there, that this wasn't a scripted thing where we did this on purpose. It was really Pooja. And also, Pooja, please let everyone know how they can get in contact with you because you just showed all the listeners and people viewing what your skill is, how great you are. Because
you did that was
on the fly.
It was. I mean, because she wasn't prepared for this.
Free session.
No, but not to cut you off, but just before you go, let's just get some relationship questions in real quick, just listeners that want to get.
I wasn't ending it. I was just.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to, you know, because people do. I mean, after all that, I mean, why not let Pooja plug herself?
Oh yeah, we're gonna plug you in. Anyway.
Yeah, Pooja, tell the world who you are, what you do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that really nice feedback, and I hope I didn't make you guys uncomfortable. But I saw this as a way.
I was great.
Listen,
remember Will Smith?
that was gonna happen next.
Chris Rock. Just don't know that.
Look, yes, I ain't Will Smith either. It will be closed.
You bring up a great point. Well, I was waiting for one of you guys to just be like, I'm done here.
You gotta have thick skin and you gotta learn to deal with criticism.
This is what we do.
If anything, I mean, we're not gonna be crazy in front of you, Pooja, when everything stops, maybe.
Right.
Right. Act like that
in front of guests.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Mama told us, you don't behave like that when guests are around. She's like, we want you to think we're respectable and peaceful. And as soon as the camera ends, this whole shit's going to hell.
Well, watch, I'm going to be like, hey, guys, I'm still here. Still here. No. I can still hear you.
Yo, next time we have you on, we're going to have one light. One light, the camera going to have a crack in it. Oh, Pooja.
Oh, my gosh. I would what's going on here, guys? Something's amiss. You guys are not happy. No. I can sense it.
Okay. I'm like, no, we had some severe weather
in Florida
right, lately.
Oh, man.
But thank you. I will send you guys a link you can add with my info, so people can reach me. I've been meaning to update. I'm working on creating my new website, so it's a little bit it's up, but I'm changing it all up. So I will provide it. info@pivotalpsychotherapy.com is the best way to email me. And
say it one more time.
Yep. info@pivotalpsychotherapy.com
There you go.
Is the best way to email me. And you know, of course, if you want to use my website, I'll send you guys the links for that, but it's pivotalpsychotherapy.com.
Okay.
Nice.
And it'll take you to my page and there's ways to connect with me, schedule with me. It'll connect you.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to add more stuff and more, you know, features that can benefit people that stop by just by having resources and things and templates in place. So, but yeah, thank you for that. And yeah, I think it's really, really fair to maybe jump into some workplace dynamics. But you know, every relationship, again, context is important, how well you feel about that person. What do you want from the outcome and what's the best way to approach it, right? Email, post it, text, what's good. So you guys want to move forward to like the intimate,
some relationships.
Yeah,
that's a different
stuff.
It's a different mind feel, right? Because you can't bring HR into the home when you're covering some difficult topics.
Yeah, it would be Pooja. It would be Pooja. Right, she would be the HR.
Like, hold up, you're getting really mad. Let me call Pooja real quick.
Let me call the therapist.
We call her therapist. We got her number past 8 o'clock.
Right.
Oh, I know, right? Shit.
Boundaries. I know. I remember those days. You just had a phone line and like a desktop, and you did your work in the office. You left your office. You didn't deal with that the next day. Now it's like, you know, it's hard to have these boundaries with this, with so many ways to communicate.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, Reg, I know you had a couple of questions. Like, what were some of the things that you wanted to touch on?
We all have questions.
No way. She answered one of mine. So,
oh, yeah. one of them was.
How to talk to teens?
Well, yeah, how to talk to teens and how to communicate to your partner your insecurities without utilizing your anger and jealousy tactics that you have developed from past relationships.
Ooh,
that's a really good
Watching your family, you know.
Yeah. Say that one more time, Reggie. I mean, that was a really good one.
Okay. How to communicate to your partner your insecurities without utilizing anger or jealousy tactics.
Man,
and this is from past trauma and relationships that you've developed.
Because we all kind of do that a little bit.
Dude! Every time I think every time we date someone, we pick up their good habits and bad habits. So, how do we do that? How do we?
Yeah, relationships are an energy exchange, ultimately, right?
So souls.
Sometimes you leave pieces of you, and
you lose a lot of yourself
in it. Maybe you should have left behind.
But they are. That's a very well put. I mean, that's a great way to put it. It's an energy exchange. It's time, resources, beyond money, maybe, but also like time and things you can't get back. energy, please.
No,
I'm
we
listen.
Please
tell me more about that energy exchange you were talking about.
Oh, go ahead. We're ready. We are ready. Are we good?
No.
We're feeling all sorts of energy. I'm saying your soul gets taken. You saying energy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think we're on the same page.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Pooja. Yeah. Please assist us with this.
No, this is great. So again, this is also a good thing to know is paying attention to what the other person is saying is a big part of communication, right? Because even though right now I'm the listener, I'm listening to you guys, what I see through the words used or the way it's said is that tells me a lot about how you approach certain topics, right? So like if you're looking at a relationship as it needs to be, energy is exchanged. So that means that you're very conscious of your time, the other person's time. You kind of want things to be a little bit more like on an even foot. You want to really know, am I willing to invest my energy here because I can't get that back. I can't get this 2 years back. I can't get, you know, certain things back. So maybe the approach becomes very critical, very, very, very compartmentalized, right? Like almost like because of past times where you may have felt like I gave a lot to this relationship and it didn't work out. So now you're sort of like already setting yourself up perhaps by expecting like, look, I'm already not seeing, because now you're tracking in your mind. Am I calling this person as much as they're calling me? I'm always the one that's cooking dinner. Are they stepping up to say, hey, let me cook you dinner today? You know, or you're taking points. Now, if you're taking points, now this is really important for any kind of like intimate relationship, especially like your spouse. So if you're tracking points and then you're just sort of holding things in, it's going to become like one interaction will be about a lot of different things, right? So maybe if I know one of the things we had discussed earlier to sort of talk about was also how do you bring up like, you know, with your spouse about financing or budgets or, and all of this falls into sort of how do you communicate what you really need them to know without offending them, without defaulting to like maladaptive, right? Or not so helpful coping ways that you've learned from previous relationships. So one is being aware before you start a new relationship, what is it in this relationship that I did not serve me? That's important to explore because this is, again, communication with yourself. You first got to have that with yourself before you're going to go and try to have that conversation with somebody else. Because if your spouse has done something and that upsets you or you resort to jealousy tactics or I think that really says, like, what are you really afraid of? You're afraid you're going to lose them. So what you're really trying to have a conversation around is not, you know, give me an example, because before I think I can fill that in, when you say like, give me like, it doesn't have to be personal, but what is a jealousy tactic or past ways that you feel like you've defaulted to?
Well, I don't know. I think when I say tactics, when it comes to insecurities, all right, let's say for instance.
Somebody not calling you. Like say for instance, you're talking to someone and you say, I call you back, right? And then they don't call you back, and you're like, wait a minute, she ain't call me back. Who's she talking to?
I got one.
Or that could be something, right?
It could be. If they call you back and you have an attitude, you're like, why you got attitude? You try to like probably like brush it off like, nah, because you're trying to be manly and not admit that you're insecure. Affected. Yeah, you're affected. It builds into something else versus you just saying, like she said, and communicating, hey, I appreciate if you say you're going to call me back, call me back because I'm sitting here waiting for you to call me back.
Right.
Because what are the feelings in that 6 hours, for example, that you're waiting to hear back?
How did you know it was 6 hours? How did you know?
What's in the feelings of that?
I have a sixth sense. I have a really good intuition. I do have good intuition. But what does that mean? Those hours that go by? Because that means you're actively now counting, you're looking. What is that being experienced as? Is what you want to communicate to the other person.
Yeah, I think it's probably showing that when you're counting those hours, you're probably seeing how unimportant you are to that person. Like you're probably sitting there like, oh, you know, so you're, what we tend to do is we, like you said, we project ourselves onto the person. So we also project maybe our insecurities, but we also project or maybe wonder have what we, how you treat them reciprocated. And we can't put that pressure on people, but we're like, certain things you should expect, like out of respect, when you guys have the boundaries and you guys come up with certain things, you know, rules or what. I guess rules, right?
But it's got to be flexibility, too.
Yeah,
right?
Flexibility.
Not everything's going to work accordingly.
No, absolutely, yeah. So there's got to be things that are reasonable. So maybe when that happens, you're like, oh, man, like, damn, I was waiting for this person to call me back. So you're like, hours went by and you're like, damn, I guess I wasn't that important. And then when you speak to the person, you've like, you found out they've done this, that, this, this, this. And it comes to find out, you're like, well, shit, what have you been doing? Well, I don't know. I was watching Netflix waiting for you to call me back. But you want to say that, you'd be like, nah, I was just chilling here. Cause you don't want, like, again, you don't want to make it seem like you're pathetic.
You're that guy.
About to say, right?
You're that guy.
So Pooja, I got one question in one scenario. As for the question, when in the dating or relationship process is it good to have that conversation, right? If Ray is on date two, and he's like, look, girl, we need to talk because I called you at 3 and you ain't call me back at 6, she ain't calling Ray again. And if she do call Ray back, then you know what? You should be worried. that's a problem. Like, so isn't it also about like context as far as where you're at in the relationship to have some of these conversations?
Yeah, or maybe it's not a, you know, always a need for conversation on the fly, but this is where if now you're starting a new relationship, starting on a foot of letting the person know, like, hey, I'm very much about, I'm willing and open to have conversations. I don't, and this is you getting out of your comfort zone, right? Knowing your like weaknesses and strengths. We all have strengths and weaknesses, right? And that's similar to when it comes to these social interactions, especially really, really special ones, like where they're depending on how important that person is in your life matters, right? How you would talk to them. Like you said, second date, probably not the best time to, but now you're revealing something about yourself, right? That I need communication. So that could be a way to bring it up at another time, but that's again, reactive. So if you're responsive, you kind of think, all right, you know what? We're figuring each other out. If it becomes a pattern, you want to address just casually. You can say like, hey, you know, I'm big on communication. So what's a good way for us to just check in and make sure that we're on the same page with things? This is what usually works for me. I want to make sure that I'm attentive to your needs at the same time, like I feel that you're attentive to mine, so that we don't make each other feel, you know, unimportant, especially depending on what you see. If you're thinking, I want to date this person, if your goal with dating is I want to see where it can go, is it a life partner? Then that's a different type of expectation than if you're dating someone because you're just like, I'm not sure, I want to date, see where it goes. But that's going to change your mindset and how you, you know, approach it. But it's always good to be honest. Now,
that was so self-restraint smooth, the way is important. She just rolled that out like so easy, like, like water. That just, conversation would not go that easy for me. I don't think, you know, I would be able to articulate my words as easily, you know, the way she.
But why do you think you wouldn't be able to articulate that easy? Is it because you're afraid of how you're going to be perceived? Like, oh, this dude's got, he's clingy. Oh, he's insecure.
I tend to overthink what I'm saying and how that's going to be perceived.
That's what I'm saying. And how you're going to be perceived. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it's not for fear of, like, rejection as much as it is, like, okay, I want to make sure I'm, like, really communicating how I'm feeling. And as I have a habit of getting stuck in my own head on how what to say instead of sometimes just saying it.
So, coming out and saying it.
I got a crazy scenario.
Yeah.
Years ago, I met a girl, and I'm not going to say her name.
Say her name.
And
did you meet her or did JT meet her?
No.
So, you can make one up.
So she approached me.
Okay.
Right? And we went out, and she let me know how she felt about me, right?
Yeah.
So I always liked her.
Date but one?
Yeah, it was like a group date, but she ended up telling me that she liked me. But cool. I always had eyes for her, but I just didn't never made a move. But then when she let me know how she felt, I was like, oh, great, right? So, and she was beautiful, smart, intelligent. I mean, just everything. And then she, when I went to meet her grandmother, she introduced me as a friend because I think we were kind of like on a, almost like a boyfriend-girlfriend level, but she introduced me as a friend. And I took that personally because, like, that's what I do to people. And when I was like in my player days, right? I was like, I didn't say anything. I was just like, okay, that's where we at. But I understood later on that she was just protecting, like, that's what she made it like a process. And then I met her friends or whatnot. But then I knew she liked me.
Yeah.
I knew she did. And then she got like an internship to work for Johnson & Johnson up in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So I would go visit her from time to time. And then I noticed that I started really catching feelings for her, right?
Okay.
Right? But something happened within me where I said, I don't want to be hurt by her.
Ooh.
So I intentionally
did shit to
sabotage.
I did. I stopped texting. I stopped writing as much. And I stopped calling as much. Until one day she said to me, is there a problem? I'm like, no, it's not a problem. And then she said, well, maybe we should just be friends. And I said, nah, I can't be your friend. Cause I didn't want her to talk about some other guy
to you,
to me. So I purposely ended it. Like, but it's crazy.
Cause it was your insecurity tactics.
It was.
That's what I'm saying. So you was like, it was, she was long distance. So I'm sorry. You said she went long distance.
I'm sorry.
You said she moved to Philly or this was,
it was just an internship for
okay. Like, so she moved back.
She was gonna move back.
Oh, she was gonna move. So that's why you're preparing. So you did all this thinking that you probably thought she was gonna what be in, cheat or something if she was if it was long distance.
I don't know, but I know I was just. I knew I started catching feelings.
So you were vulnerable. You didn't like being vulnerable.
Yeah, I didn't
vulnerable.
Like that.
Vulnerable. Not so that's the word, I think, not insecurity, more so vulnerability.
It was because I realized that I think one time where something was said about a friend, a guy friend, and usually I don't really care. I'm like, you can have a friend if you want to. I got friends, no problem. But one day I got defensive about like, well, who is this dude?
Well, what does he look like? Well, what does he look like? And how old is he? Dude, the questions started coming out. Like,
and I was like this. No, I don't like this.
Dude. Isn't it funny how the you start, all of a sudden you turn into a detective. At first, you don't care. When you first meet him, you're like, passive. Like, cool. Then, oh, my old friend. And all of a sudden, you're like 2 months, 3 months going. You're like, okay, what friend now? What they look like?
I go back to my head.
Did you guys date?
When I was a friend, and you know, it wasn't always great, so... But Pooja, vulnerability was my issue at that time. Yeah. I didn't want to be vulnerable to it, and I made sure I entered it. I mean, I made sure I sabotaged it on purpose.
On your terms, it had to be on your terms.
I did.
So you had to hurt her versus her hurting you.
I don't know if I hurt her, but I
think you to
you
a degree you did.
You need control, right?
Yeah, you need control.
In that situation, you don't feel blindsided. If like it would feel more of a easier thing to accept, sounds like, for you as a man to be like, I kind of just like, you know, I cut that short, or I sort of moved on because it wasn't working.
And she was a wonderful person. I mean, wonderful. But
you think about it to this day?
No. I mean, I'm
2 minutes ago.
Exactly. talking about this, I think about
that's a big thing here, right? Yeah. Because what you're just what you've highlighted here through this is, while you know, certain things that happened were because you did it to self-preservation. You're like, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to like start to connect with somebody because of something you did, right? Like because maybe someone, let's in this sake, use a man, like a couple, right? The man's cheated maybe many times. So now if his spouse or significant other is going out looking all nice without him, he might start to go, where are you going? What are you doing? But that's coming from what he's done.
Right.
So sort of like, right, setting the tone because of how, like what you'd mentioned is like how I've usually introduced people I'm not serious about. So you saw that act as like, oh, shoot, like what if she's just seeing me as a fling? I don't want to get emotionally invested because then it's going to be hard. And then maybe I don't want to turn into like this needy guy, because maybe you do want a bigger emotional connection. But what you said, what that highlights is, you got to look at it this way, right? If you think about it, does it, the act of kind of ending it because you were catching feelings, did it stop the feelings from coming up for you? Did it change the way you viewed that interaction and that relationship, the sentiment of her?
Are you saying that I move on?
No, yeah, how did you view her after?
Easier to,
like, did your feelings stop?
Did it change? Right. Did it make you like her less?
The thing about me is,
I'm a robot.
Yo, he's serious. He's like,
you're the switch.
I had a thing where I can like just
hit the switch,
cut people off.
Yeah.
Emotional gangster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many, yo, there's bodies. Really yo. She's like, yeah.
No,
she's like,
I
bodies, yo. There's bodies. What do we know about?
If you lived them, you know, in our household and. You know, from my lifestyle. So, yeah, it was what I was trying
but
to do.
But it's not that you didn't feel the emotion. You just shut it down to where you didn't confront the emotion or engage with it.
That's
kind of moved on from it. You didn't engage with it.
Ray could have been our best weapon, weaponized soldier. Universal soldier right here. No. Damn, you just take that switch off.
We're cracking jokes, but I'm built. I don't know if I'm built that way anymore, but I possess that capability as well.
Mm.
Like if I'm like really pissed off, if someone's really just done me some kind of way, and I know it's unhealthy, even from young, I knew it was not healthy and normal for somebody to be able to do that. But yeah, there's been a handful of people in my life that kind of fell on the wayside of that like emotional reset. Mm.
Yeah.
So I'm here with two tin cans.
Your experiences have maybe made you a little more hardened to accept other people's love, right? You weren't able to let that in, that feeling of like, I feel good with this person. You weren't able to because you hadn't maybe experienced it before. It was different. And that freaked you out because you're like, this is not norm. I'm used to chaos or I'm used to this. So the minute you start to experience something that was different, you already kind of were like, this can't be real. Like I've never had a relationship where I felt this way. So you shut it down. So what you're really doing is you're not icing other people out. You're icing out your own needs and your ability to receive.
But I also wasn't, if I think about it rationally though, at that time, I wasn't emotionally mature enough anyway. I really wasn't.
Like, how old were you?
Probably 24, 25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't. No, I really wasn't. Believe me. I wasn't emotionally mature enough.
Okay. So maybe the idea of this is not going to be like my wifey. I am not ready to settle down. Freaked you out. Could be many things. But the point is you iced out. You didn't give it an opportunity to see where it
that's
goes.
Right. I did not.
Now, I haven't been able to ice out someone that I liked. I've only been able to ice out people that have upset me.
So you use anger. Yes, I'm saying. So you used anger. So it's not like iced out like emotion. Use anger to sever that relationship.
Right, but I'm talking about, we're not talking like, you know, fly-by-day situations. In some instances, some of them were like really long-lasting like friendships.
Those are the worst,
things
bro.
Things went like really south, and at that point is like, you know what?
Those are like the easiest ones to ice. I mean, in a sense, because there's so many years and so much backstory versus someone brand new. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I mean, when I'm saying like it's easier to ice them because you've given 100 chances, so it's like, this is why I'm hitting that switch.
When some things need to end, right? I mean, not everything needs to be communicated, right? Like, I do want to underscore the importance of knowing when to communicate and when not to, because sometimes like it doesn't deserve the type of communication. Like if you've had enough, like you said, right, enough experiences in a specific setting or with a person, after a while, it's okay. If it is just toxic, regardless of what you say, things aren't going to change who that person is. So most likely with that type of a situation, you're going to have very many shared experiences with other people that same individual knows, where chances are like they are not aware. So now you have the option to really weigh, you know, something to think about is, what is it about this? Like, is it worth for me to take the energy and time to really have this conversation? Do I want to? Is my goal here just to make them feel bad, point out certain things, and then not really be in touch anyway? Because then what's the point, right? Or is it because you really feel that it would be helpful for them to know? Are you coming from a helpful or hurtful place? Mm. That's key. Sometimes delicate things can be hurtful to others, whether, you know, doesn't matter how well and calmly you articulate something, it can still cause an impact. That's, you know, I can't believe you said that. Like, that's really hurtful. I had no idea you were thinking this way about me the whole time, you know, things like that. So regardless, there is always discomfort in communication. However, if it's a relationship that, you know, okay, I'm coming from a place that's helpful because I want to be able to help us grow stronger as a couple, whether it comes to raising your children together and getting on the same page, or whether it's to share with your children, you know, about finances, communication always starts with you, because you got to model what you want the tone to be. If you want your kids to come to you for things, you have to model that behavior. So biggest thing is, I want to share with you, and I'm not, you know, this is what money is, or when you have that sex talk with your teenagers, or, whatever, you know, important conversations have to happen, the biggest thing you can do is not make them taboo. Give yourselves time. Like, hey, every Thursday at dinner, we're going to talk about one new thing that you should know in life or something, you know? Yeah. Debrief that way. You can make it as formal as you want and not so formal. But the key is you got to, like, understand why do I need to share this, right? So now if you're going to go into bankruptcy because you have a spouse that spends too much or is not aware of how, you know, what they're doing is impacting you and therefore impacting your overall connection and the relationship, it's important to be able to say what you need to say. But you got to understand, like, am I doing this because I'm coming from that jealous place? I'm going to tell her, like, yo, you need to tone down what you're wearing to the grocery store. You're going to the grocery store. Why are you wearing X, Y, and Z? Or why do you need stilettos? Or I don't know, whatever. I'm making up reasons. I don't know. But you see what I mean? Like, or, you know, grilling them, right? Because you're worried that when you dress up a certain way, perhaps Maybe this is what you've done instead of go to the store, like you said. So you got to be careful of your bias. We all have prejudices. We all do. As therapists, as a therapist, I'm not multiple therapists. That's what's wrong. I don't think I have that issue. I don't know. You got to tell me. But I think, when it comes to even therapy, like I, as a therapist who has to check her own prejudices when I work with certain people, still have them, right? And the key is I'm constantly having to manage them. So I know, like, hey, I'm expecting this person to already come with this history because of my previous stereotypes or whatever. Yeah. So we all have them. It's just about being open to yourself. Can you acknowledge you have them? And what is it that's going to ultimately change? If you think that it's going to help you build healthier habits in your household, that's going to help your children thrive, your marriage thrive, maybe uncomfortable at first, but change comes after certain conflict because that's often necessary. You often need that one moment where you're like, all right, or maybe that one time where you thought you could have lost your spouse because they started, getting more comfortable because their emotional needs were being met through a friend who was able to listen to them without, maybe the same judgment or tone or coming from that place of, I need to control this relationship because I'm a man and I can't, like, from what you guys have mentioned, just growing up in maybe families where feelings weren't talked about, or just the man code, men, right? We don't talk about that, man up, right? Isn't that I will not say what somebody said. I heard, although I said it in defense. I was at a cigar bar randomly. As it was a new business that I was welcoming into the community as part of our chamber. So I just stopped by to grab some cigars for my husband. And hey, look, I like to try them on occasion too. It's so we do this together. And so I got it. And it was a weird exchange there because I was listening. It was weird. I was the only female there. But I, they were surprised that I chose the cigar I did, or, the conversations were very different. I almost felt like I was like, am I, am I like pushing myself into a situation where I'm not wanted? No, women come here all the time. But this one man made a comment. These are stereotypes, right? Like the guy got sick after the cigar smoke, and his friend or colleague was like, can you give him some water? Like, and the other guy made a joke, like, what do you mean? Like, she's having a X, Y, and Z scar. And this guy just like can't handle it. And the other one was like, I know. And then comes the P word. And I was like, oh, and I was like, P's are hard. Have you ever pushed a baby out of there? And then it goes right back.
There you go. Oh, God. How about that? There you go.
He's that was just long winded. But those are the things I think men worry about, right? Like when you, oh, look, he just got punked. His wife's cheating on him. Like, it's about your ego, your reputation. Oh, this person, this is going to look bad because, like, I can't have it look like I don't have any say in this relationship, right? If my spouse is kind of coordinating everything and doing everything, I don't want to be perceived as a pushover. So these are all our insecurities. And the whole thing is you got to be willing to really explore those and say, I'm coming with this into the situation. It's hard to do. And this is not something you can do every day, but every day, just a little bit of when you're taking a shower, think about an interaction that you had where you felt it was, what could you have done differently to get the outcome you had imagined maybe you wanted out of that? Or what did you learn from it that worked, right? So like thinking of all the things that it's a process and practice and consistently doing it. But you have to first be able to have those dialogues and know, like, all right, I'm okay. I want to share. May not be the best way perceived by other guys, but that's their problem. Like maybe you sharing it is going to give that person a point of perspective, like, oh, I didn't think of him as like a loser for sharing how he feels or any less of a man. In fact, I respect him more for doing that. So maybe that interaction will help you learn that you actually were respectful of them. So chances are other men will respond to you the same way if you open up. It's a shared, I think, a fear of like how we're gonna look, how we're gonna sound. But at the end of the day, if you don't say it, yeah, think about, if I don't communicate this, what's my life going to look like? How is it going to impact me, right? If you're at a point where you're just really unhappy in life, you're barely keeping your job together because you don't like what you do, and instead of communicating early on what was going on with your work, some people just start to stop showing up or check out, mentally, emotionally, what have you. And then that looks like they're just really bad employee, didn't know what they're doing, as opposed to, no, I was a burnt out employee who was bored because I'm capable of more than this. But it doesn't come off that way. So if you don't communicate, you have the alternative option, which is you just be passive in life and let yourself be a victim and let yourself be a, oh, well, this person said this, you did that. Or you start to own as an adult, like at some point, my experiences are in my control. What I say and do is in my control. So if I'm not happy here, what can I change? Why now? And what would this, how would this help me down my life in 5, 10 years? What does it look like? You know, and that could be, hey, I need to shed this relationship, or I need to shed this friendship, or I need to like really stop getting taken advantage of because it's not serving me. I'm depleted and I'm no longer, I'm resentful in the relationship. But you got to say that people are not mind readers. Like, you know, if you say, sure, I got this, and then you forget, or that becomes a way in some relationships, you know, this is a common thing I hear is, you know, I said it 3 times and the person's like, yeah, well, I heard you, I was busy. And they're like, but why can't you just acknowledge it? I wouldn't said it the other 2 times, right? Or, oh, but you still forgot. And they're like, well, yeah, I wasn't listening to you. I'm like, yeah, if you listen, you're right. So the person's like, you listened to me the first 2 times, then you would have, I would have stopped and it wouldn't have gotten this, you know, this heated for you because now you're just like disengaging. So the main thing is you want to check yourself in any kind of setting. Like, what am I trying to communicate? Why? With whom? What's the best way? What do I want out of it? Right? Like, are you trying to make them feel bad? Are you trying to like help them? If it's coming from a helpful place, how is it helping you and them? Right? Like, there's certain phrases I think in my notes I'd shared with you guys. I can put together a tip sheet or something, but like things you can say as you practice it with other people, right? Practice the conversation with somebody else. If you're going to have one with your boss, try a best friend or your spouse, your partner, and say, can I share with you, like, practice how, you know, so I can get more comfortable with what I'm saying and accepting like responses that may not align with what I was hoping to hear. But that's part of communication. You're not always going to get what you want, but you have to learn to be okay with finding a way where you can kind of not push a person in your way, but gently, like, you know, for your boss, you would say like, here's why it's not because I find this job boring or I do this, because you're going to go, well, then you need to look for another job. But right. What's your impact? Like, I'm going to be able to free up my time. If I can get more support with X, Y, and Z tasks, I can get more time to focus on this main component that actually brings in the capital or will bring in the customers or, you know, will increase revenue, whatever. Make that way we can. Need. Right. Like, it will help me to function in my role better, allow, like, you know, more even distribution of work. Other people get experience doing the things that I've been doing for so long. And I can kind of focus and align with what I really am here to do. My mission here.
Yeah. Just I like the one, you know? I like the one that says communication often takes ongoing effort. Not a one and done, like March Madness, but not a one, in most cases, it involves being flexible and a willingness to adapt and manage your expectations as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely take that tip, the tip list that you have, and Ray, I'll trust in Ray to post it on the Fanbook page as well as and Jeff for the Instagram and, you know, things getting done like that. Well, this has been such a great segment. I know we got caught up in our own thing, so I definitely want to revisit this because there's other things that we wanted to touch on, but I know time is a factor, especially for you, especially
you,
with the man.
Thank you, Pooja.
Thank you as well. Especially dealing with
Will Smith, right?
Yeah, Will Smith, right? Especially with dealing with men's health, and one of the important things was dealing with not if you're not happy, how to communicate that, and basically without offending anyone else, and how to express that more. But that to me is a deeper conversation that leads more to the mental health. So I definitely want to touch on that next time with you and continue with that conversation with the communication.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a big, I think a point that you wanted to highlight was to talk about also how to share what you need in your partnership, whether it's, you know, in the bedroom, outside the bedroom, whatever it is, like how to communicate more of those, I guess, difficult conversations about
those
like
needs.
What your
Let's
preferences
be real.
Are, sexual preferences. That,
their needs.
Emotional
your needs.
Preferences. Yeah.
We didn't get to that piece. I wanted to see like how smooth Pooja, like what the talking points was. How do you navigate that conversation? Because it's not an easy one.
No, it's definitely not. That's definitely going to take another segment, another session for that.
That's a whole nother
session. Absolutely.
I think for that one, you know, it'd be really cool. You guys should, and I think I may have had that as one of the things to explore.
Having a woman do what do you call it? The survey? The poll?
A poll from women?
I think it was also for this specific, like, what did you, like, think of a time you guys had to have these conversations.
First person. Us personally. Right. Oh, cool. Okay.
Yes.
We can definitely do that.
And I think it's I forwarded again in my notes, but how, like, you know, what's the time that you had to do that and how did it go and what was going on and how did it turn out? And are you still with that person? Did that end the relationship? Did it grow it stronger? Be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think we can definitely do that. Just not have the spouses listen to
it. I'm a little scared of that conversation.
I'm good.
Ray, I'll be over here.
I'm good.
I know.
You can talk about observations. Oh, geez. Or you can talk about your observations of a friend, you know, speaking for a friend.
That's cold.
I'm about to say.
That's cold. People know what that is.
That's funny. Yeah. Speaking of friend.
Put a scenario together. We
Ray
can pick
got
it.
Stories to tell.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, he definitely does. But yeah.
I can't wait to hear.
We'll definitely touch on that again. Well, we'll definitely meet up and do that show and have those answers for you. And again, if you want to have the questions, you know where to put it in Slack, so we can have those questions with the personal one, so we'll actually have time to answer that.
I mean, we'll be open and be real.
Oh, Ray look a little hesitant over there.
We'll be open and real.
Are you good? Okay.
Yeah, you know how I get down. I tell life experiences every time.
All right.
So Pooja, thank you.
He keeps it real. All of you do. This is why it works.
It is, and you're amazing at what you do, and we thank you again for this.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
No bodies were buried. Nobody was open hand smacked or anything like that. No G.I. Janes. No.
Not yet.
Like I said, the cameras
go
off.
Watch the video, Pooja, for you.
Camera comes off. It's going to be over. But thank you again, Pooja.
Where are you guys located again?
Okay. I know, right? No wellness check. She's going to be tracking the phone. Off. Yeah, everybody turns their phones.
We are in the land of the crazy man, right? We in Florida, where all things are special.
Yeah, right. Home of the serial killers.
Yes.
On that note, thank you, Pooja.
I don't know.
Have a wonderful week.
Yes.
And we'll see you soon, obviously, for another session.
Always appreciate you joining us and providing some insight and helping us all grow. Today was a fascinating thing to be a part of today's show. Thank you for that.
Yeah, next one is going to be on Jeff.
I'll be reveling in this for days.
Next one we got to pick Jeff.
It's just a warm glow coming from over this side. Right? Yeah. Man. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
we broke a barrier.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Broke something.
And that's where that slap's coming in. No, I'm kidding. But thank you again, and thank you for being open and courageous enough to go with it and sort of really see where it was going. And I thought that was fascinating that it just sort of set up a good way to get into this and use it an example that was there. So was thank
beautiful.
You for that.
It was beautiful.
Pooja, you know, plug yourself one more time. Let the people know who you are and what you do.
Yes. So again, my name is Pooja Trivedi Parikh. I am a licensed psychotherapist and behavior analyst with Pivotal Psychotherapy. It's my practice. I was going to say PTP, but actually, I've incorporated, it's been a while, into Pivotal Psychotherapy services. So the best way to get a hold of me is, info@ pivotalpsychotherapy.com. Awesome. And again, I'll give you guys like a PDF you can share with this in the comments, so that there's like a worksheet of how to kind of maybe the steps of communication help somebody maybe gather a better idea of how they can walk through what they're trying to clearly state, and some helpful things that way. But I'll include all that info in there.
And we'll attach your information on there as well.
Yes. And remember, family, Ray and Reg are not only podcasters, but they are patients.
All right, Pooja.
Oh, boy. All right. So this means I got consent, right? I'll send you guys those to sign. Just kidding.